Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Peter Drucker is credited with developing the concept of management by objectives, a management philosophy that focuses on clarity and agreement of goals. When employees visualize what needs to be done and how, they can focus on doing the right things. In this episode of By Your Life, we'll discuss how what you focus on matters. Welcome to the 124th episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hudiman, and I know that you have 100 different things you could be doing right now, so I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Peter Drucker, a university professor, freelance writer, and business consultant, was one of the best-known and most widely influential thinkers and writers of management theory and practice of the 20th century. He is credited with developing the concept of management by objectives and self-control, and is quoted as saying that you can't manage what you don't measure. Over the years, there have been many successes attributed to the implementation of MBO in corporate America. The benefits include increased job satisfaction and employee commitment through involvement in the process of goal setting, and improved relationships between supervisors and employees through frequent reviews and joint problem solving. But the most obvious benefit is clarity and agreement of goals. When the objectives seem obtainable, they enable workers to visualize what needs to be done and how, and to focus on doing the right things to accomplish their goals. There have also been many critics of the approach, however. Among them are professor, author, and management consultant W. Edwards Deming, who argued that lack of understanding of systems commonly results in the misapplication of objectives. Liz Ryan, author and former SVP of HR for Fortune 500 companies, said, "The vast majority of important things we manage at work aren't measurable." Additionally, Deming claimed that setting production targets encourages workers to meet those targets through whatever means necessary, which usually results in poor quality. My own experience throughout my career was that MBO is conceptually good and poorly implemented. For example, I was responsible for strategic business development for my company, which involved identifying, assessing, planning, and implementing new business initiatives. The more we were able to develop new opportunities, the more our company could grow. So the natural tendency would be to set an objective and measure the number of new business initiatives successfully implemented. The problem with this thinking is that part of our job was to screen and eliminate bad opportunities as early in the process as possible, thus reducing continued investment in concepts that were not likely to succeed. An objective focused on solely pushing concepts through to implementation could lead to investing in initiatives that were losers. Another challenge was that new opportunities varied significantly in scope. Some of our initiatives involved new, evolving technology, while others were proven technology applied in new markets, and others were merely extensions of existing products in existing markets. Projects that were smaller in scope needed less time and resources to pursue, while larger projects took more than a year and could eat through the pool of funds budgeted to invest in new business initiatives. So setting measurable objectives for my department was not a straightforward exercise. Even Peter Drucker acknowledged that there were issues with the implementation of MBO when he said, "Management by objective works if you know the objectives. 90% of the time, you don't. Focusing on the wrong thing will yield the wrong results." Why am I talking about MBOs, and what does this have to do with our readings this Sunday? Because what you focus on matters. And when you focus on the right things happen. In our gospel on Sunday, we heard about the disciples in the boat being tossed about by the waves, and Jesus came toward them walking on the sea. Thinking it was a ghost, the disciples cried out in fear, but Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." What happened next is really interesting. Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Why would Peter want to get out of a boat when the waves were crashing about him? What would make him ask such a thing? The answer is simple. Peter not only recognized Jesus, he acknowledged Jesus as Lord and trusted his divine sovereignty over nature. So when Jesus said, "Come," Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. He was centered on Jesus and trusted the power of God over the wind and the waves. But then he got distracted, and when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and he began to sink. What you focus on matters. What you focus on is what becomes powerful in your life. There is scientific evidence to support this. It's called experience-dependent neuroplasticity. And at the heart of the research is the finding that experience changes the brain. Our brains are made up of billions of neurons, and different neurons are responsible for different parts of our experience, whether it's eating, sleeping, laughing, spelling, or sensing threat, loving, nurturing, or learning. Every time you have an experience, the relevant neurons switch on and start firing. As this happens, neural connections get stronger and new synapses start growing. Or, as they say in neuroscience, neurons that fire together wire together. The neurons that aren't needed will eventually wither away. According to Rick Hansen, psychologist, senior fellow of the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley, and New York Times bestselling author of Hardwiring Happiness, mental states become neural traits. Day after day, your mind is building your brain. What you focus on will determine the parts of your brain that fire, wire, and strengthen, influencing what the brain will focus on in the future, whether positive or negative. Psychiatrist Karen Young wrote in her blog, Hey Sigmund, "If you let your mind settle on self-criticism, self-loathing, pain, distress, stress, worry, fear, regret, guilt, these feelings and thoughts will shape your brain. On the other hand, if you focus on positive feelings and frame situations with a tilt towards the positive, eventually your brain will take on a shape that reflects this, hardwiring and strengthening connections around resilience, optimism, gratitude, positive emotion, and self-esteem." And Dr. Hansen says, "If you want to develop more gratitude, keep resting your mind on feeling thankful. If you want to feel more loved, look for and stay with experiences in which you feel included, seen, appreciated, liked, or cherished." Focusing on the positive requires us to overcome a natural tendency to notice the bad. While it's helpful for us to be aware of negative forces in our lives and learn from them, There is a problem when we fail to recognize the good right in front of us. How often do you have a perfectly good day, but let your mind fixate on the jerk who cuts you off on the way home, while letting the positive experiences slide away? To combat this tendency, you must deliberately notice positive experiences and focus on them. Peter Drucker may not have been a neuroscientist, but he understood this phenomenon when he said, "Follow effective action with quiet reflection. From the quiet reflection will come even more effective action." Jesus himself gave us this example. After he fed the 5,000, he dismissed the crowds and went up on the mountain by himself to pray, following effective action with quiet reflection. We certainly are living in turbulent times. Some of us are out in the middle of it, stirring up the water, while others are hunkering down in their boats, trying to ride out the storm. Some view these times with a sense of despair, while others manage to find the rainbow. All of us are driven by what we focus on. We can't escape the circumstances of living in these times, but we can control how it affects us by choosing to focus on the Lord, and like Peter, trusting His divine sovereignty over the trials we face. But we can't focus on the Lord when we allow negative noise to distract us. As Elijah discovered in our first reading, the Lord isn't in violent winds, nor earthquakes, nor fire, but a light, gentle sound. We need to take time for quiet reflection and find Him there. Matthew Kelly refers to this as spending time in the classroom of silence. So whether you are stressed about going to work or being out of work, managing kids' schoolwork at home or having them head back into the classroom, wearing a mask or being near someone who refuses to wear a mask, recognize that you have the power to fixate on the stressful aspects of your life, or you can choose to find the blessings in these circumstances. Choose wisely, because what you focus on matters. What you focus on is what becomes powerful in your life. Let's pray. Lord, help us to choose to focus on You, knowing that You are sovereign over all creation. Help us to quiet the noise in our lives so that we may hear the tiny whispering sound of Your voice. Help us to trust in Your love and that You're here to guide us. And help us to recognize Your blessings in our everyday lives. And may God continue to bless you abundantly this week, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, spread the word. You know what to do: forward, share, or click to post. Also, check out the resources page on our website at byyourlife.com, where you can find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in this and other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback by leaving a comment.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.